From the KTO Newsroom, I'm Jamie Deep. Thanks for tuning in. Governor Mike Dunleavy signed a $450 million fast-track budget bill Thursday afternoon, according to his spokesperson. The closely watched bill provides hundreds of millions of dollars for construction projects, disaster relief, and wildfire suppression. Lawmakers passed it late last month. Construction industry groups had pressed for fast action on the bill. Complex fiscal maneuvering by the legislature last year and a series of vetoes by Dunleavy led the state's 10% match for $700 million in federal infrastructure projects unfunded. Industry groups told lawmakers that meant they were unable to properly prepare for the summer construction season. But the bill faced delays in the House as Republicans objected to a proposed draw from the state's $3 billion savings account, arguing war-driven oil revenue would cover the cost. The Democrat-heavy bipartisan House majority countered that banking on unknown future oil revenues in a volatile market was unwise. Lawmakers ultimately failed to garner the three-quarters supermajority necessary to backstop the budget with a possible savings draw. That leaves it unclear whether the state will have the money to pay for all the items in the budget. Republicans said they were willing to revisit a savings draw if it became necessary. And Alaska Airlines increased checked bagged fees for most customers due to volatile fuel prices and global uncertainty, according to a Thursday statement from the company. The new fees went into effect today. There are no changes for travelers enrolled in the airline's Club 49 program, which allows Alaskans to check two bags for free when traveling to or from the state, or three bags if traveling within Alaska. Alaska Airlines is among several major carriers that have recently raised bag fees. Jet fuel prices have surged globally following the U.S.-Israeli war with Iran, causing airlines to hike costs and cut routes. For travelers flying Alaska Air, checked bag fees increased $5 for the first bag, $10 for the second, and $50 for the third. Bag benefits for Atmos Rewards members and eligible Atmos Rewards Visa card holders are unchanged, the company said. Juneau's three Democratic state lawmakers met with constituents downtown on Wednesday for a mid-session town hall event at Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Cafe. The Alaska Legislature's 2026 regular session is more than halfway done. Senator Jesse Keel says so far it's been an interesting one amid the ongoing U.S.-Israeli war against Iran.
We live in this bizarre world in Alaska where a huge chunk of our budget is dependent on the price of oil. And so with a caveat that war is bad, it did raise the price of oil, which is good for the state budget.
State revenue forecasters revised their revenue forecast in March, adding more than $500 million because of the war-induced oil price spike. But they cautioned that the market is volatile. All that extra money in the budget has some lawmakers clamoring to spend it. The House Finance Committee added a mega $3,800 permanent fund dividend to the latest draft of the budget earlier this month. But Keel told constituents not to go on the spending spree quite yet. Representative Andy Story said education funding remains a priority for Juneau's delegation. Last year, lawmakers passed a historic raise in base per student funding. But Story says schools are still struggling to maintain facilities and hire and retain teachers. This session, she introduced a bill aimed at stabilizing school districts' budgeting process.
It's a different way to set the education funding timeline. You know, it's been broken for a long time. We do not know our district's budgets until well after the school year has started. It changes how we do the student count.
Story's bill passed out of the Education Committee earlier this month. Its next stop is the House Finance Committee. Audience members asked Representative Sarah Hannon about a bill she introduced this session that seeks to ban law enforcement officers from wearing face masks on duty in Alaska. Hannon says opponents of the bill have mischaracterized it as an attack on police. She says she thinks it's unlikely to pass this session because of that.
I want to assure you the goal of it is to make sure that the policing standards the Alaskan law enforcement use now, where we know them, they're our neighbors, that's what continues.
This year's regular session is scheduled to end on May 20th. Starting today, Alaska seaplanes can use new proprietary approaches and departures to improve flight safety and reliability for Southeast communities when pilots can't see anything but clouds. KTOO's Alex Solomon brings us this story from the sky.
Patrick Ford descends through the clouds shrouding Juneau in a brand new Cessna 208 Caravan. The plane emerges from whiteout conditions at around 1,600 feet above the Mendenhall wetlands and glides gently onto the runway at Juneau International Airport. Ford is a pilot and the director of operations at Alaska Seaplanes, the largest commuter airline in Southeast. For much of the test flight, he operates on autopilot, using an approach that automatically follows fixed waypoints in the sky.
Every one of these little star-looking guys is a different fix. It's just a three-dimensional point in space that you have to hit at a specific spot at a specific altitude. And it's basically just like driving down the highway, and you're driving the highway in the sky, following the markers.
The Federal Aviation Administration has approved Alaska Seaplane's new departure and arrival paths in communities across Southeast. Juneau, Haines, Cake, Sitka, Hoona, Klawak, Wrangell, and Petersburg. A spokesperson at Alaska Seaplanes says the company spent millions to design and get authorization for the new paths. But since the expense was planned years in advance, passengers won't see fare spikes from this. The company's new path in and out of Juneau International Airport goes through the south end of Gastineau Channel. Ford says it allows pilots to drop out of a cloud ceiling that's as low as 580 feet above sea level. He says that increases a plane's chances for landing in poor visibility instead of turning around.
I'm sure you guys have been on a flight where you get halfway up to Haines and, you know, it's shut down at Eldred Rock and you have to turn around and come all the way back.
The new approaches and departures are paired with advanced GPS technology called synthetic vision, made by Garmin. A screen in the cockpit displays a computer-generated 3D view of the terrain, allowing Ford to see what's around him when there's no visibility. He says that's an advancement on what's called instrument flight rules, or IFR, a set of FAA regulations that control the conditions for pilots relying on instruments to navigate rather than sight.
So it's a huge, huge improvement in safety, and I sleep better at night knowing that that's an option.
Especially in Southeast, a notoriously cloudy and mountainous region. Large jets don't land in many small towns in Southeast, so residents rely on small commuter flights for air travel. Sean Quim is the co-owner and chief operating officer of Alaska Seaplanes. He says that before commuter aircraft could fly in low visibility, flights were frequently canceled.
So we just had to stay low below the clouds and wait for good weather, and you could go when it was good enough.
He says the new flight paths and synthetic vision will improve flights for outlying communities, like Hoona, where he grew up.
It really allows us to be providing a more reliable service to the communities throughout Southeast.
Quim says there should be fewer flight cancellations. In Juneau, I'm Alex Solomon.
At least three cruise lines have changed their itineraries this year to avoid the Tracy Arm Fjord south of Juneau. The company cited safety concerns brought on by a landslide there last August that triggered one of the largest tsunamis on record. As the Alaska Desk's Avery Elfelt reports, experts say skipping that area is probably a good call.
Carnival Cruise Line, Holland America Line, and Royal Caribbean Cruises have all notified customers that their ships will not be visiting Tracy Arm or Sawyer Glacier, which is located in the fjord, this season. The move comes after a major tsunami struck the fjord last August. Mike West is the Alaska State Seismologist and a director of the Alaska Earthquake Center.
Many different boats and observers rode out this wave and experienced it. The immediate assumption was that this tsunami, this local tsunami, was generated by a landslide.
The U.S. Coast Guard and seismic data later confirmed that assumption. The tsunami was likely more than 100 feet tall in some areas, according to the U.S. Geological Survey. As a result, the cruise lines instead have opted to visit the nearby Endicott Arm and Dawes Glacier. The company has said in emailed statements they've been closely monitoring the area and made the decision based on the state of the waterway and current geologic conditions. Royal Caribbean noted that guest safety is its, quote, top priority. West says it's a smart move.
Anytime you take the side of a, you collapse the side of a mountain, I think it's a safe assumption to assume that you've got an unstable mountainside. It is perfectly reasonable or geologically reasonable that there could be follow-on activity.
Put simply, he adds,
you know, the Earth is getting used to its new arrangement.
Still, he says, it's not necessarily fair to assume that other deep, narrow fjords are any safer. Landslide and tsunami risk is widespread in Southeast Alaska, and scientists have no tangible way to quantify that risk in specific areas. Dave Snyder is the tsunami warning coordinator with the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. He echoes West Point, noting that two of the largest tsunamis on record have happened in the region. One was last year's event in Tracy Arm, and the other happened in 1958 in Lituya Bay near Glacier Bay National Park. Snyder says the two events had the highest run-up numbers, or high water mark left on land, in recorded history.
They are extraordinary, unusual events that can happen with little to no notice at all. And because of that, we have to stress those natural hazard warning signs that very well could be the only alert that you get during an event like that.
Those signs, he says, could include frothy or gurgling water, prolonged strong shaking, or a roar from a nearby hillside. Reporting in Haines, I'm Avery Elfelt.
And taking a look at the weather in Juneau, it is currently 51 degrees and sunny over at the Juneau International Airport. And looking at tonight, temperatures are expected to dip in the low 30s. It'll be partly cloudy with patchy fog, but we'll be able to see a little bit more sun tomorrow with a high of 46 degrees, with temperatures dipping back down and the chance of rain going into Sunday and next week. Sunrise was at 5:59 this morning, and sunset will be tonight at 8 p.m., which means you can take advantage of some of that sunshine and Folk Fest this nice Friday for a total of 14 hours and 1 minute of daylight. As for the tides in and around Juneau, there was a low tide of 3.9 feet at 2:10 p.m., and the tide is currently coming back in, and it'll reach a 10.8-foot high at 9:36 p.m. This is KTOO. For more news, head to ktoo.org. Thanks for tuning in.